podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Here's the agenda for the podcast. My goal is to keep it around 40 minutes and keep it chock full of content. First, I'll lead with a quick introduction. Then, we'll give you the equipment check, where we talk about some piece of a technology or other collateral running stuff. Each show will be wrapped around a featured segment, where we interview someone interesting from our running world. I'll follow that with a quick tip derived from my centuries of running experience. We'll wrap it up with some music of our guest choosing from the PodSafe Music Network. Some things we're not going to do. I'm going to try to avoid recording myself while running. All that heavy breathing is just a little creepy for me. And there'll be no extended monologuing. I'm going to try to keep to the facts. If you want the emotional content, you can visit my blog, the Runnerati blog, at www.runrunlive.com. Please leave me an audio comment at, and you better write this down, or better yet, program the number into your cell phone, 206-339-7804, or send me an email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. And thanks for listening. Let me know what you think. Plus, you know, the more comments you leave, the less you have to listen to me talk. So, are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. So, this is Chris again. Welcome to episode 11. And I'll also give you an intro for episode 12, I guess, as well. I got a two-part interview of a friend of mine. Name is Jill, and she is a certified massage therapist. As we all know, sort of the curing angels of our sport. Not a runner, per se, but I think you'll find what she has to talk about very interesting. And just to show you that I'm not a self-centered misogynist, she is a woman. So there you go. I do know some women. And, you know, I was thinking about maybe interviewing my friend Devin, who could have a first name that was female, but, you know, this is better. So anyhow, I hope you enjoy it, and we'll have a couple of good tips for you. And I'm going to split this up into two episodes, because it was kind of long, and we'll cap it off with some tunage. All right? We will see you out there.
And now for the equipment check.
All right, I got a piece of equipment for you today, which is low-tech and useful, which is just the way I like them. The equipment here is a baseball. Now, if you go to your physical therapist, they'll recommend there's some hard-to-reach places to stretch and to massage, like your back and your way back. So I have this problem with my piriformis gets very tight and hurts. And if you're familiar with the piriformis muscle, remember Frank Rowe was talking about that in episode one, common overtraining and pain that shoots up the back of your leg and presses on your sciatic nerve, this little muscle in your bum, right, in your haunches. So what they recommend is that you sit on a handball or a tennis ball and sort of roll it around to penetrate in there. Well, this thing I get in my right leg, and it's really painful when I'm driving and stuck in traffic because I got to hold my right foot on the brake and the gas and the brake and the gas, and it inflames that piriformis really. I start getting pains in my leg. So I found that the tennis ball and the handball really wasn't doing it for me. I guess I have massive haunches, but what I got was I got a baseball, and that baseball is nice and hard, and I can bring that baseball in my truck with me. And when I'm sitting in traffic or on a long drive, I can put that baseball right where the piriformis is and sort of roll around on it, and it causes that to release and takes the pressure off the sciatic. So that's a great tip for you. The other thing you can do if you got lower back problems that you can't massage your lower back or places you can't reach is you can put a tennis ball or some other kind of ball, you know, experiment with it, maybe a rock, I don't know. You can put it in a sock, and then you hold the end of the sock so you can sort of swing it over, over your shoulder to your back and roll it around that way. People will find that. Or they'll put the ball on the ground, and they'll use the weight of their body to roll around on the ball to just to get those muscles to release a little bit. I'll try to get a physical therapist on the show to talk about some of these tricks at some point. So that's a good one, though. That one helps me out a lot. We'll see you soon. We'll see you out there.
And now for our featured interview.
So you're there.
I'm here.
How about that, huh?
That was easy.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you're a certified therapist, right?
I am a licensed massage therapist, Chris.
So I can't say, like, let me tell you about my childhood?
No. That would go beyond my scope of practice.
Relationship with my parents and that sort of thing, no?
Right, but you'd have to call somebody else for that.
Oh, okay. So anyhow, did you do the Boston Marathon again this year?
Actually, I wasn't able to make it this year, but I've been going as part of a team of massage therapists that work on runners at the finish line for the past several years. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go this year, but I hear all the runners were in good shape, and our team did some wonderful work down at Copley Square for the American Liver Foundation, our team of therapists, that is.
So is that gratis, or, I mean, do they have to pay you guys to do that?
No, we do it for the experience. It's a team of student therapists as well as licensed therapists from the school which I attended, which is here in Nashua, New Hampshire. And we put together a group of about 30 therapists that traveled down to Boston early in the morning. Every April, we've been doing this for about 10 to 12 years now, and there's about 250 runners for the American Liver Foundation that we work on. Yeah, and some we may not reach every single one of the 250, but we handle a couple hundred runners. We bring in 10 to 12 massage tables and have a hospitality suite all set up to handle the runners. So it's not down at the street level. It's upstairs, and when the runners are in their recovery phase.
Yeah, I know there is another, like, official massage tent or something. I've never been in there, but I thought I'd passed one. Maybe.
Yeah, I believe the race officials, the marathon officials, do have massage services available, you know, right at the street level. But the group that I'm with, we see people, you know, anywhere from 20 minutes to maybe an hour to 90 minutes after they've crossed the finish line. And it's great when they've had a chance to take a shower. That's not always the case. When you're doing hands-on work at an event like this, of course, you do come across a variety of different conditions, shall we say.
Yeah, we always have a therapist come up to our, we always get a hotel room, my club.
Excellent.
And so, you know, there's like 10 or 12 of us, and we get we always get a massage therapist to come in. And
that's great.
It's great. After marathon, you know, before marathon's good and in your training is good, but after the marathon, to push all that, I don't know what it is, out of your muscles, it helps your recovery a lot. It makes you feel like a million bucks.
Absolutely. That's all the feedback that we hear, and it's very gratifying. The week after the marathon, we're always inundated with emails from runners that we've worked on, and you know, the anecdotes of how valuable they find our work. It's just great. Can get back to work, get back to life. The years that they maybe haven't had a rub down after the run, they really notice. It's not until maybe Friday or Saturday that they're feeling really good again. So we can get them back in full form most of the time by Tuesday.
A couple days. Yeah.
And it really only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. You know, a post-event massage isn't like a 60-minute deep tissue that you might receive a week or two before your big event or during your training. It's quick. It's just it's meant to just, as you said, push the blood and lymph and all the fluids through the tissues and start that recovery phase.
Yeah, I mean,
really,
so
let the body do what it wants to do naturally is recover.
So there's a difference between, there's really like three different types of massages you're going to get depending on where you are in your training. So like if it's the right after a race, you do that one to sort of move stuff around.
Right.
If you're early in your training, you'll get the deep tissue thing to sort of release tendons and muscles and just, you know, take all the kinks out. And if you're really close to a race, you want to have a different one, right? So you don't, because you don't want to bruise anything. Like, explain that.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely different protocols that you would use, you know, in this scenario. And you're exactly right. You would use that deep tissue work a little further away from the event, and then right up until, you know, right up the week before your event, I would want to do a little different style of work, and certainly that would differ than what you would receive, you know, right at the finish line. Absolutely, Chris.
Yep. Well, you gave me a good work over 1 year, about 3 years ago, before
yes.
The North Country Trail Marathon got me a nice qualifying time there.
Yeah, I take pride in that. Yes, I think we did good work together there, getting you ready for that, Chris.
That was one of my tough years where I ran three marathons in 6 weeks trying to get a qualifying time.
I remember.
And we finally did it, but I know, you know, like some of the guys I've talked to, they have a therapist basically on speed dial, and they go in mm-hmm. every week. You know, these mm-hmm. guys who put in a lot of miles, and it's just like part of their routine.
And they can't imagine, you know, doing what they do without it. And I do have several clients that, you know, would fall into that category. I mean, I do also work with, you know, other athletes as well, and I see certain, you know, injuries or syndromes that are specific to each, you know, sport that I deal with. As far as, you know, runners are concerned, as you know, the hamstrings really can give you a lot of trouble.
Yep.
The lower leg as well.
What's the top three that you see? Let me guess. Achilles, hamstring, and piriformis.
How did you know? Achilles, I would say Achilles and, you know, heel pain. Some people call it plantar fasciitis, whether it's formally diagnosed as that or they come in with heel pain. And I will point out that 9.9 times out of 10, I can get that heel pain down with trigger point work to the calf muscles, working specific trigger points in the gastroc as well as soleus will diffuse heel pain, and it may take 2 or 3 or 4 sessions, but what we do is we locate the trigger points. We deactivate them, and I send my clients home with some homework, if you will, and diagrams, and get them to work on their own trigger points in between appointments. And between the two of us, we really, I've had great success getting my clients to achieve a full recovery from that heel pain.
So essentially what you're telling me here is that the Achilles tendonitis or the inflammation of that little sheath back there, or any of that tendonitis in the heel area, is mm-hmm. caused by the big calf muscles having tight bits in them.
And I mean, not always, but again, 9 times out of 10,
yeah.
10, absolutely. That's been my experience.
And you give them some good like anterior stretches so they get down in the Achilles?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's a series of stretches. Of course, the traditional, you know, against the wall and heels down,
right.
And then you bend your knee, you get soleus that way. But there's also a style of stretching that I've been having great success with. It's a PNF type of stretch. That stands for proprioceptor neurofacilitation.
Well, that
PNF.
Helps, thanks.
Anyway, what it is, and I think we've done this together, Chris, it's a combination of stretching and contraction, and it's a pattern, and you're able to get a deeper stretch with the intermittent contraction of that, in this case, gastrocnemius muscle, the calf muscle.
And for me to put that into layman terms, what you're basically doing is you're putting a little stress on the muscle and then releasing it, and you can get a deeper stretch that way. So example, if you're working on the hamstring, I'm going to push down on your shoulder on the hamstring, and then when I let up, you'll be able to move that whole leg up, 2 inches higher.
Exactly. So, and it's a hold for 6 to 8 seconds and then release. And, there's a whole pattern. I teach my clients how to do that for themselves using tools or items that they might just find at home. I'm really all about not only, helping my clients with the skills that I have and my experience, but also teaching some home care and self-care techniques. A couple of tools that I really find useful, my clients find tremendously useful, is, I don't know if you've ever heard, Chris, of the tiger tail. Have you ever heard of that tool? It's like it's a foam roller, basically. It has
a foam roller.
Middle piece. Yep. And the two handles on the side, and you can roll it on the back of your calf muscle. You can roll it on the top of your thigh. You can get your quads worked out. And the whole idea, again, is to just, work the soft tissue so that the circulation, the nerve conduction, the blood flow, the lymph, all your fluids, and all your tissues are operating optimally. The tiger tail is one tool. The Theracane is another tool that's excellent for trigger point work. And now that I mentioned that term, I would like to give you a link to a website that I think is just fantastic for helping people deal with some of these self-treatment issues, and that would be triggerpointbook.com. I know I've showed you my trigger point book, Chris. I don't know if you've picked up your own copy yet, but it's just an invaluable resource for
self-care. I think self-treatment is illegal in Massachusetts.
Well, it's fine in New Hampshire. No. actually, I'm an advocate, if you can take care of your own trigger points, you're more than halfway there.
Well, and one thing I found, the same thing we were talking about with the active stretching, on my piriformis, I was only doing it in one direction, and it helped a little, but not a lot. Sort of like you put your heel up on your thigh, and you pull the leg towards your chest, right?
Pull through,
What I found, if I push down the other way and pull up, then push down and pull up, that does it much, much better than just pulling in the one direction, and that works. And the other thing the other thing that you gave me was the tennis ball trick in the car. But I found that a baseball works better for me for some reason.
And also what a lot of people are using lately is a lacrosse ball. The lacrosse ball is firm like a baseball, but it does have just that little bit of give. It's not exactly as hard. But the shape is perfect, and you're able to kind of roll it around the muscle, depending on what muscle you're working on. One technique I'd like your listeners to think about is, when you're talking about the hamstrings, is just to put the ball under your leg as you sit in a chair, ideally a wooden chair or a chair with a flat surface, and you're able to, that type of situation, you might want the tennis ball for it. But, have a couple on hand, figure out what's going to work best for you. The whole idea is that you know what is feels like it's getting to that issue. You know your body. You know what's going to work. And you know if you're able to use these tools and roll around, whether it be in the chair or up against the wall, that's an excellent tool for the piriformis. If you roll your hip, your outer hip. As you know, Chris, the piriformis connects from the top of the femur, that's what we call the greater trochanter.
It's your butt.
Over to the sacrum. So it's deep to gluteus. It's underneath gluteus. So you do have to get through a couple layers of muscles, but when you have trigger points in your piriformis, it can set you up for a whole host of other referred pain. It gets
pain, I get
down the leg. You know.
Exactly,
you know that
yeah.
firsthand, right?
Yeah, I get that sciatic pain down the leg when I overtrain, so I got to work my piriformis in my
Absolutely. Hamper. Absolutely. Cool. And the tennis ball or lacrosse ball up against the wall, if you do use it up, you know, standing up against the wall like that, I suggest putting it in a sock. It just gives you a handle if you need to adjust the height of it or kind of work it around. It gives you a way so it doesn't fall to the floor, pick it up, you know, and that's
so good. If you're going to do that self-massage, the self-treatment, is it better to do that cold before you run, hot after you run, or something in between?
Well, the work that I advocate, it's detailed beautifully in the Trigger Point book, found at triggerpointbook.com. That work is meant to be done 3 to 6 times a day. Once you locate this trigger point, it feels like a little lentil under your skin. It's identified by the feeling, we call it the exquisite tenderness. It hurts like a bugger, but you want to continue to massage it. It's that that kind of feeling. I know that you're familiar with. So
yeah, when you're on the table, you can feel the massage therapist find that point, and it you get the sharp point, but then you get the release.
Then you get the release. Right. You're killing me, but if you stop, I'll punch you. You want them to continue. That's how you know that's a trigger point, basically. And so that this work that I advocate is 3 to 6 times a day. You know, when you're trying to bring down the intensity of these trigger points that you can have, I see it a lot, you know, throughout the 6 to 8 main trigger points in the calf area. So it's a whole series. It might take you, you know, 10 minutes several times a day to deactivate those. But you'll find in, you know, most times less than a week or so that you will be pain-free and you will have dealt with your myofascial pain beautifully. And
And people won't do that. People will go out and spend $500 on orthotics and new shoes before they'll try to actually understand the mechanics of what's going on and treat it.
Sometimes it can be so simple, and you have the answers just, you know, in your own hands with maybe a couple of tools. It really doesn't take, you don't have to make an appointment. You just have to take the time, whether it be at work, at home, in your busy life, to, you know, help yourself, and you'll get better training out of your runs, you'll have better success in your events, and you'll be pain-free.
Yeah,
you know, I do see some, I mean, there are people that have other, you know, other issues on top of this, but nine times out of ten, I can get fantastic results if I can convince my client to, you know, take that step and really be proactive with their own self-care.
Here's today's quick tips.
All right, this is Chris. Man, I feel like caca. I just came off of 30 miles in the woods. It was a battle from the start, but I stayed with it, and I definitely went beyond my body's limits here. So what I'm about to do is give you the sound of me immersing myself. I'll put the microphone down so you can still hear me. Immersing myself in a bath of ice water. Oh, God! As painful as that sounds, and is, if you go out and you really abuse yourself, i.e. a hard marathon, or a 20-miler, or in my case, I just beat the crap out of myself in a 30-miler, and I can tell I beat the crap out of myself just because of the way I feel. Yeah, I'm kind of nauseous, and the last 20K was just a slog. I gave up a lot of time. I started out, I was trying to try some new things this week. But I stuck with it. I got through it. And this actually, all of my ice is pretty much melted already. But you want to get a lot of ice, dump a lot of ice, couple bags of ice in a big bathtub, and you want to immerse your legs in it, and you want to stick with it right after the run, okay? The worst thing you can do is take a hot shower or take a whirlpool with hot water in it. That's really bad. You take forever to recover from that. You take an ice bath, it's going to speed your recovery. It's going to take 2 days off your recovery, especially if you're an old guy. And as painful as it is to put your body down, actually it's a hot day today, so it's not bad. It's worse in January and February when you're doing your route for Boston. But it will take days off your recovery time and make you feel so much better. I don't know why. I just know it works. The other thing you don't want to do is you don't want to take a hot whirlpool the night before or the day before a race. So if you go someplace for a marathon, right, and you're in the hotel and they got a, ooh, look, a hot tub, let's go in the hot tub, don't do it. Again, this is just tribal knowledge from me. You can go out and research all you want, but my personal tribal knowledge tells me that's a bad thing. Last year up at Winnipesaukee, Mark and I jumped in the hot tub before the race and lounged for a long time the night before the race, and we both had awful races. So I think that's true. But anyhow, what I do now is I sit here for about 20 minutes. I hit my watch. How did I do today? Oh, that's not too bad. That's within the pale. Maybe 30 miles. Well, that definitely puts me under 9 hours. Yeah, maybe even under 8. No, under 9, no, probably, for the 50-miler. All right, so anyhow, that's my tip for you. Ice bath, 20 minutes. Got to hold yourself down in it. Got to scream a little bit, but it's worth it. Bring a book with you, so you're going to be sitting there for 20 minutes.
So, my peaceful running nation, that was it. That's episode 11 in the can, a little short. We're going to split this interview in half. Episode 12 will be the second half of Jill, the massage therapist, and you'll find that very entertaining and useful, I am sure. And I will, so, you know, we get a little extra time. I'm going to throw a couple of tunes in now. Since we have time, I'm going to do two, and the theme for this week is speed. And you may not know it, but I have themes for my music because the PodSafe Music Network is hard to search on and find anything useful, so I just search on random phrases. And this week I searched on speed, so I'm gonna play two songs for you tonight. The first one is called Atlantica by Speed Limit 35, and the second one's gonna be High Speed by The Tourists. So I will see you, my friends, out there on the road, in the woods, on the courses. Run well. We'll be right back.
So I say,